The next case to be heard is 2014-1582. Olentangy Schools Board of Education versus Delaware County Board of Revision. Got a bit of a Chinese fire drill on the council this morning. Mr. Gillis.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Mark Gillis on behalf of the Board of Education of the Olentangy Local Schools. At the outset, this is going to sound very similar to the last one, all the facts of this case are far different. The Bedford Rule has absolutely no application in this case. That is because the property owner presented absolutely no evidence of value for the subject property. They presented an appraisal for a different property with no sanitary sewer access for a different tax year with no appraiser. Property owner's counsel admitted at the Board of Revision hearing, we agree, it's a non-appraisal. It has not been appraised. They did present the testimony of a Mr. Giller, who never rendered an opinion of value for the subject property. He was merely a fact witness testifying to the general market for completed condos. Subject property is a piece of vacant ground. We wouldn't necessarily know that from the Board of Tax Appeals decision. Mr. Giller testified, we have not had it appraised. There was no evidence of value for the subject property presented by the property owner. The Bedford Rule stands for the proposition that a Board of Revision's decision to lower value eclipses the auditor's value as the default if the Board of Revision accepts the property owner's evidence. With no evidence of value, that can't happen here. The Board of Revision's decision is clear. They determined value based upon the Board of Revision's appraiser's recommendation. This recommendation was never presented to the parties. The BOR's appraiser was never presented to the parties for cross-examination. The parties were never even informed that the recommendation existed. The date on the recommendation is more than a month before the Board of Revision hearing. Therefore, it was in existence, and the BOR presumably already had it. As a result, that recommendation is not properly in evidence, should never have been considered without being presented to the property or to the parties for review and cross-examination. When we get to the actual recommendation itself, we find that the Board of Revision's appraiser pulled a single sheet of paper out of some unknown appraisal for an unknown property, for an unknown tax year, used five or six sales, four of which occurred in 2007 and 2008. And those four had no adjustment for market conditions. And yet, the Board of Revision's appraiser's recommendation was to reduce the value of the subject property by 80%. That's not competent and probative evidence. It's not specific and plausible. It's not even evidence that's properly in the record. The BTA has routinely rejected this exact same practice. In Bob Webb Park Place, Suggs Revenge, Hegdorn and Durstein and others, the BTA has specifically rejected a Board of Revision's reliance upon their own appraiser's recommendation when that appraiser has not been presented to the parties to review the report or two sheets of paper and to be cross-examined. They didn't do that analysis here. In fact, they don't even mention the fact that the Board of Revision's decision was based solely upon this recommendation. They only talk about Mr. Giller's testimony.
Now, there certainly are a number of situations in which the Board of Revision will have some kind of colloquy with its consultant, maybe after the BOR hearing. Mm-hmm. Now, is it your view that that's improper, or is this case different? And you're saying that here this report or whatever it was in existence before the BOR hearing?
The date of the BOR's appraiser's recommendation is in November, and the hearing occurred in January. There's no doubt that a Board of Revision has the authority to investigate all complaints. In fact, they have a duty to investigate all complaints. But they can't make decisions in secret. If the Board of Revision is going to be a party in these actions, they're always the named party, they can't slip evidence into the record, unauthenticated, hearsay evidence, rely upon it. And then in this case, the Board of Tax Appeals doesn't even mention it. The Board of Tax Appeals decision relies solely upon Mr. Giller's testimony, which had nothing to do with the value of vacant ground. He talks about the sale of completed condos. Now, then you got into the issue of zoning. He said it's zoned for condos. The Board of Revision's appraiser says it's multifamily, condos, or apartments. So they weren't stuck with only doing condos here. It's just that's what they wanted to do. And they decided to hold the property until they could do that. But that doesn't mean that the value of the land has decreased. It means that the value of the prospective completed improvements wasn't where they wanted it to be. I believe the testimony was that the condos that he referred to were selling for maybe 20% less. That certainly doesn't justify an 80% reduction in value. The comps that were used by the Board of Revision's appraiser had no adjustment for market conditions when the sales took place in 07 and 08. And yet he reduced the subject's value by 80%. Now, counsel argued in its brief, and the BTA went beyond what the arguments were in the case and determined that the sale of the property was not recent. And the sale of the property and the documents with regard to the sale of the property were presented to complete the record because the sale was discussed. But the auditor's value was the auditor's value. Nobody was trying to have the value changed based upon a sale. It's being bootstrapped into saying that the sale is no good, therefore anything goes. And we don't even need, right now we have two standards of proof according to the appellee. Come in with an appraisal of a different property with no appraiser. Testify to general market conditions for the property in a state that it doesn't exist. Get a reduction, and now the only way, according to appellee, that the Board of Education can meet its burden of proof is to present evidence of value. The property owner didn't present evidence of value. So now the Board of Education is being put to a higher standard than the property owner. This case, as the other case, should be remanded with instructions for the Board of Tax Appeals to independently review the evidence in light of its own precedent. One case being issued a little over a month ago, an independently determined value. I'd reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. Mr. Ray.
Your Honor, may it please the Court, my name is Nicholas Ray, the law firm of Vorey, Sater, Seymour, and Pease. We represent the appellee property owner, Olentangy Crossing. Mr. Giller testified in this case before the Board of Revision as a knowledgeable market participant. In this regard, his testimony is no different than the testimony in the Worthington North Point case. Mr. Giller testified as to the market, testified as to the changes in the market, testified as to the specifics of the property, and also provided an appraisal report, which was done for another property Mr. Giller owns, which is close to the property, and which he believed was representative of the value. It correlates to the value requested on the complaint, and Mr. Giller indicated there clearly that that appraisal was not for this property. But at the same time, he provided his opinion as a knowledgeable market participant as to the value of the property. It's also clear that what Mr. Giller did was to discredit the auditor's existing valuation. The property in question, the year we have at issue, is 2010. The property sold in February of 2007. Mr. Giller testified as to the negotiation of that contract, that it was entered into in 2005, that they closed on it in 2007. The school board filed on the property for 2007 to increase the value to the sale price. There's no question of the basis for the auditor's valuation in this case. It's also undisputed that Mr. Giller testified as to the change in the market. There is no other market evidence. In fact, Mr. Hsu's testimony on the record is that the market for the property has changed. The sale is no longer reflective of the value in this case. The property is zoned, as Mr. Giller testified, and they had not been able to develop the property. Because the development was not on the horizon, the owner started actively farm, having the property actively farmed, and as of the tax lien date, the property was in the CAUV program. For 2010, hopeful that development may be on the horizon at some point, the property owner elected to challenge the underlying market value of the subject property. As noted at the BTA hearing, and frankly, as we sit here today, Your Honor, other than a very small portion of the property remains in the CAUV program. The intent of this case, frankly, from the property owner's perspective at the very beginning, to manage the CAUV recoupment, frankly, at this point, the recoupment period has passed. The tax dollars associated with this case are remarkably small. A very small piece of the property came out of the CAUV recoupment, and the tax dollars associated with this case are very, very small.
But there's still some at issue.
So there is some. A small portion of the property.
The case is not moot.
Very small portion of the property was removed from the CAUV program. As a result, there was recoupment charged on that. And so there would be a difference on that small piece on the case before the board. The owner testified at the Board of Revision concerning the purchase of the property and the changes in the market, and again, why the reliance upon the 2007 sale was no longer appropriate. It was supported by his own experience in the market and then the appraisal for the other property. Again, we are not contesting that's an appraisal for this property. We're providing owner opinion testimony as it relates to the changes in the market for the property, the development of the property, and the owner's opinion as to the value. The appraisal had been provided to that Board of Revision with same counsel for a previous year. It was accepted by the Board of Revision, and frankly, in that case, the Board of Education did not appeal that decision. So again, from the property owner's perspective, they had a number that everybody agreed was the right value for dirt, adjacent dirt, and so the owner's opinion was based upon that and the prior case. The Board of Revision in this case performed its statutory duty. And again, confirmed its statutory duty, performed its statutory duty. It's not unusual for county appraisers to write up opinions and to wait to hear what the property owner and the school board has to say before finalizing any opinion of value. That is, obtaining all the evidence available to them and making an independent determination of value. It is what the Board of Revision is charged with. It's what they did in this case. It was clear what that Mr. Hsu's testimony was based upon. Mr. Gillis makes an issue of, well, it was dated November 1st, and so it was not available. The evidentiary exclusions that he seems to be applying to the Board of Revision have never been held, in my knowledge, to apply to the Board of Revision. They apply to the complainant. They apply to the counter-complainant. It's part of the reason that counsel for the property owner objected when the school board had the sale evidence in their possession from the 2007 case, didn't provide it at the Board of Revision, and then showed up at the Board of Tax Appeals and attempted to provide it. If anybody had an evidentiary exclusion, it was Mr. Gillis. It was not the Board of Revision. The Board of Revision then rejected the auditor's original value, which was based upon the 2007 sale, and then accepted Mr. Hsu's number. The Board of Revision arrived at an independent determination of value based upon its own analysis. The Board of Education appealed to the Board of Tax Appeals. They then elected, again, over our objection to provide the 2007 sale and to raise legal arguments regarding the reliability of the Board of Revision decision. The BOE failed to address the Board of Revision's decision. Again, it was clear from the record what the Board of Revision's decision was based upon. It was not the $8,000 per acre requested by the property owner. It was a number substantially higher than that and substantially lower, more substantially lower, admittedly, than what the auditor's original value was. The owner didn't appeal. The Board of Education then had a burden. It was the appellant. It needed to do something. Now, Mr. Gillis talks about he's free to choose whichever way he decides to meet his burden. He chose in this case to raise legal argument and to rely upon the 2000 and provide the 2007 sale. That sale had already been rejected, and that approach was not without considerable risk. Mr. Hsu's work in this case was clear from the record. The BOE did not develop any independent evidence of value, did not call Mr. Hsu. To the best of my knowledge, did not issue discovery to the county, although, again, they may have. But nothing was provided as it related to Mr. Hsu. Mr. Hsu was available to be subpoenaed as a witness, be provided to be cross-examined. He was not. It's clear from the record that the decision was based upon the work of Mr. Hsu. We ask our boards of revision to form independent opinions of value, to review the evidence before them. The Board of Revision in this case did everything it was supposed to do. Frankly, it did everything right. It analyzed the evidence, it rejected the evidence by the property owner, it rejected the evidence by the school board. It made an independent determination of value. The BTA then, in this case, provided the correct analysis highlighted by this court in the Dublin East Bank condo and the Worthington North Point decisions. The court has been very clear in this regard. The BTA clearly says that the BOR decision was not presumptively correct, but it also found that it was equally entitled to some consideration. The BTA then went on to find that the property owner had effectively rebutted the auditor's value. The BTA then went on to find that the school board had not been its burden to show that the Board of Revision decision in this case was incorrect. In summary, both the Board of Revision and the Board of Tax Appeals followed Ohio law and the precedent set by this court. The method selected by the Board of Education to meet its burden, reliance upon an old sale and legal arguments concerning the support for the Board of Revision decision, is their choice to make, but any choice is not without risks and costs. Without any evidence of value, the arguments raised by the Board of Education were found to be lacking, and the BTA correctly affirmed the decision of the Board of Revision. There is absolutely no basis to overturn the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals in this case. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Mr. Gillis, you've reserved 6 minutes and 47 seconds.
Clearly, I didn't talk enough the first time around. Let's be clear. Mr. Hsu didn't testify in this case, despite Mr. Ray's statement that Mr. Hsu's testimony in the record supported the value. Mr. Hsu's recommendation was dated more than a month before the Board of Revision hearing. If he had taken into consideration the evidence that was presented by the property owner at the hearing, then there would have been some mention of that evidence in his recommendation when he updated it. There was no such reference. Therefore, the recommendation that was created a month before the hearing was unchanged, and there's nothing that would indicate that the Board of Revision didn't have this in their possession at the time of the hearing. Mr. Giller's testimony was about the market for completed condos. Yes, they plopped an appraisal down for a different, quote, piece of dirt, but it's not the same dirt, not in location, and also not with sanitary sewer access. The subject has it. The property described in this other appraisal did not. In fact, it was indicated in that report that it was unclear as to when that property would be able to get it. Therefore, the appraisal bore no relationship to the subject property. The fact that it's right next door is irrelevant. If it doesn't have access to utilities, it can't be developed. The subject property can. Mr. Ray argues that because the property is in CAUV and that somehow the case isn't worth that much money, that somehow is justification for an 80% reduction. Buying and holding property on speculation doesn't warrant a reduction. And let's remember, in this case that isn't worth anything, the property owner brought the complaint. And they provided they didn't bother to get their own appraisal for the property because it wasn't worth it to them. And yet now they are asking this court to affirm a decision that was based upon a document that was admittedly not in the record. He says it was based upon the record, but the Board of Revision doesn't get to create its own record. It can independently review evidence that is properly within the record. And putting in a recommendation using an appraisal for an unknown property for an unknown tax year, using comparables that were adjusted to some degree, but they're adjusted to the comparability of another property. And we don't know what that was. That cannot be the basis for competent probative evidence, and it certainly isn't the evidence that the property owner relied upon. I do find it interesting that Mr. Ray admits that the Board of Revision rejected the evidence of the property owner. Therefore, North Point and Bedford can't apply, because the foundation of that is the Board of Revision's decision to accept the property owner's evidence, not slide in something on their own that is hearsay, unauthenticated, and reading through it isn't an appraisal report. At worst, this case should be remanded to the Board of Tax Appeals to independently determine the value based upon the evidence that's properly in the record. Quite frankly, the property owner, by presenting no evidence of value for the subject property, the case should be reversed and the auditor's value reinstated, because they haven't met their initial burden at the Board of Revision.
So it's your understanding of the law that the Board of Revision has no authority to make a change in value other than based upon evidence presented by a property owner or a school board?
No, they can only change value based upon evidence that is properly in the record.
Okay.
If they go and do their own investigation, more power to them. But the Board of Education has a right to see that evidence and cross-examine its author. We are not required at the BTA to subpoena in that witness to make their evidence admissible. That's their job. That's just like saying a property owner can throw an appraisal down without an appraiser, like they did in this case, and say on appeal it's the Board of Education's duty to call that witness as an expert, pay his exorbitant hourly rate, to make their evidence admissible. The property owner has a burden at the Board of Revision. They failed in that burden here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.